We know this year has taken a huge toll on the mental health of many Australians. Kids, adults, single people, even those living with family. But a new report shows even with all the services on offer, many men are still not choosing to take up professional help when they need it most. It's the first part of a long-term project, 10 to Men, being carried out by the Australian Institute for Family Studies. And I'm joined now by their director, Anne Hollands. And welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks, Patricia. Hello.
Hi. So the study found only one quarter of men with mental health concerns are actually seeking out services of a professional. Why aren't men reaching out for help?
Well, you know, we've known for a long time, haven't we, that for many men there are many barriers. And it's a lot to do with the cultural norms about what men should be like, and that it's often seen as a sign of weakness even to have the problems in the first place, and then secondly to be seeking help for the problems, to not be independent and to be able to get over it yourself. These are very long-standing ideas that are very hard to shake off. And, you know, possibly now with this, with COVID kind of layering on the multiple issues on, you know, the financial, you know, the isolation, all those issues, maybe this is a chance to shake off some of these ideas and to recognise that these problems are very widespread, and that, it, in fact, it's a sign of strength to seek help, not weakness.
The study also found many men who'd experienced mental health struggles had seen a GP, but less than half of them had followed up with a mental health professional. Why aren't they taking that next step? So in this case, these are men who did take that first step. They've spoken to a GP, but, you know, actually going down that road of mental health support is the issue.
Yeah, look, we didn't find out why from this study, but I'm guessing it's something to do with the stigma of mental health. Maybe it's just that little bit harder to access. Maybe there was a cost issue, you know, we don't know. This study, these questions were asked pre-COVID, so whether now that there's more services, more online and telehealth services, maybe it would be different. But, you know, there are these barriers that make it harder. The GP, though, is right there in the front line, Patricia, and, you know, like, we really need to support that GP layer to do as much as they can to help these men.
I want to talk about subsidised telehealth, because those sessions are due to expire in under a fortnight, but the Health Minister may choose to extend them. Do you think there needs to be, that needs to be a permanent fixture to help people with these issues?
I don't understand why telehealth is not just a core part of our frontline primary health services, frankly. It makes a lot of sense, COVID or no COVID, to me.
We've reached the so-called September cliff. JobKeeper payments and the JobSeeker supplement will be trimmed. They're not going, but they're certainly being trimmed. Are you concerned about the effects that might have on mental health of people who are struggling and vulnerable?
Well, certainly from this study, we found that unemployment was a major factor, that you know, men were more likely to be depressed if they were out of work. And you know, at a time like this, I guess it's those multiple, the pylon of issues, you know, like, it's just, hey, we've never seen anything like this. It's an extraordinary time. And I think it's really means that all of us have to be looking out for those men in our lives, to be reaching out for them, those who are trusted by those men, to be helping them find the right support that they need. It is a very, very tricky time right now.
A report out this week from the organisation behind Kids Helpline found a third of children and young people are experiencing serious impacts on their mental health. Later this year, I know you're going to be taking on that position of National Children's Commissioner. What needs to be done to try and help young people?
Well, I think we need to support their families. That's the short answer. You know, I don't have the figures here of how many of these men that I'm talking about tonight had dependent children, but a lot of men do, a lot of women do. And often we think of our policy and services in silos of adults and of children separately. Children don't operate in isolation. By definition, they're in a relationship with someone who is caring for them. And I think the more that we can be doing to support the whole family, and the communities in which they live, to really look after these kids well, the better the kids will be in the end. We all need to be focused on promoting child well-being. That's a massive investment for this country. It's a nation-building investment, and we really need to focus on that as a long-term roadmap. I mean, this is not a short-term fix.
This year's school leavers face an incredibly uncertain future, a shattered economy, a struggling tertiary education sector, and also the potential for the pandemic to continue well into next year. Are you worried about this cohort?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think there's probably they're going to wear, I guess, the lack of jobs, the insecurity going forward. They're going to wear the stress in their families. But I think, as long as the economy can turn around, these kids will probably, they'll bounce back, most of them. I mean, I don't think we need to be too worried about them. But other than the fact that, if there aren't jobs for them in the short or medium term, then that's going to be a problem. We need to get those jobs back.
And just returning to the main, topic of our conversation, men and mental health. What do you think enough is being done to focus on men and men's mental health? I know there are programs, men's sheds, lots of different ways that we've been trying to help men. And, many people have made the argument that toxic masculinity is at the heart of a lot of these problems. Is there enough assistance for men?
Look, there's probably a lot more services now available to assist men than there was pre-COVID. But I think that there's also that sort of who are the people who are going to help these men get to the services they need? We've talked about GPs. It is also those trusted family and friends. Sometimes we all need a nudge, don't we, to take that big step, especially if we're shy about it or we feel there's some kind of stigma. So I think maybe there's some education of all of us to do that reaching out, to know how to talk with the men in our lives and to really get them to the help that they need.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
Anne Hollands is the director of the Australian Institute for Family Studies. And if you found any of the themes in this interview difficult, you can contact Beyond Blue anytime on 1300 224 636. Or if you or anyone you know is experiencing distress, you can call Lifeline as well. And the Kids Helpline also is available. That's 1800 551 800.